Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Before we get started, are you a subscriber to this series? That's what we ask in 2019, regardless of what we're talking about half the time. But seriously, if you're into the interviews, if you're a big music fan, I put out interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Consequence of Sound, so you should keep up to date by hitting the subscribe button wherever you're listening from, whether that's where you get your favorite podcasts like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, or you can also subscribe at YouTube or Spotify. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guests are Wallows. They've got their debut album out called Nothing Happens, talking with Braden LeMasters, Cole Preston, and Dylan Minette. That's right, I got the whole trio on the phone here. And we're going to get into how Nothing Happens finally came around. They've known each other for like over a decade, and they've been working on these songs for a lot of that time. And as the story goes, their 2017 single Pleaser shot up the viral 50 chart on Spotify, which eventually led to an EP, and then finally a record label deal with Atlantic Records and getting signed for this album right here. We'll talk about how those songs changed throughout the years, how changing their actual band name became a dividing line in their career, and the LA scene that they came from. Of course, it's noted that a couple of the guys are actors in the band, very famous actors. Are the two careers something they try to separate or embrace? We'll get the answer there as well. And there's also some fun talk about living the rock star life by playing board games with touring mates and a crazy bus fire that happened that luckily nobody was hurt, but did leave them nearly naked. This one's a lot of fun. It's Kyle Meredith with Wallows.
Hey, how you doing?
The compliments, Nothing Happens, is such a fun record. Congratulations on this one. I know this is a really big deal, the debut album.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll point out what I'm sure some have pointed out before me, that it does seem ironic that your debut album is called Nothing Happens, because it feels like it's quite the opposite of those two words right there for you all right now.
Well, that was definitely the goal in having sort of a ironic debut album title along the lines of, like, is this it? Because I kind of like that it opens the door for like bad review headlines or something. But it also, you know, we've been through a lot of band names before in our lives, like in our teen years, and we'd go through these periods of time where not much would happen, and we'd always say, like, oh, and then nothing happened, and then it just sort of caught on. We're like, oh, we should call our first album Nothing Happened. But then as we went on with recording the album and writing the songs and stuff, but like lyrically and thematically, it's sort of what it meant to the narrative was, you know, so many things can happen in your childhood or in your teen years or growing up or whatever in your life. It seemed like the end of the world or seemed like such a big deal, when really in the end, as you get older, and more experience, you realize nothing really happens and everything's okay. So that's sort of what it means for the theme of the record and everything.
Some of those themes that you're talking about here, and I know you've kind of talked about those before as the broad themes of this record, you know, to write about love in any fashion during your teen years would change so much by the time you're in your 20s, you know, and how you kind of look at that. You know, the losing innocence part and the growing up. And some of these songs have been around a while, right? And if that's true, have they changed in the way you've connected with them in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like growing up is such a weird thing because you're just kind of in stages of your life, and then you reflect back and you realize how different you were or how different things seemed. It's a very strange thing, like growing, like literally like when you grow, you're like, oh, now I'm taller and I look different, but I don't remember doing that at all. So I feel like, yeah, with some of these songs, you know, like, there's a lot of new ideas and a lot of older ideas as well. I feel like the older ideas took a whole new shape. Like, we completely, like, rearranged them or completely did different instrumentation or different lyrics to kind of match the vibe. And with the newer songs, I feel like, yeah, those are like a, you know, a more current state of just how we're feeling or whatever. But, yeah, the whole record just kind of, yeah, we wanted to have that over that whole theme, just overlooking the whole thing and feel like kind of like a, like the chapter ending from the Spring EP to the album, like kind of summing up something and opening up a whole new door for the next album. But yeah, I feel like the songs kind of organically happen like that.
Yeah, ask us in a year how we feel about the record. It still feels super, super fresh to us, I think.
Yeah, it's too new.
I think that goes with any band, though. I mean, you know, the new thing is always the best thing. And then 1 year later, it's every artist will tell you every single thing they would have changed about that album, you know, in the past.
Exactly. Yeah.
You kind of mentioned too. And so, you know, as the history of this band goes, you all have known each other for a long time now. And you have had several names in there. So where is the dividing line? Like, what makes the name change, if that's the moment, a hard divide between the present and the past for you all?
Wow. I think the reason we wanted to change the name is, since we've been playing in this band for so long and different iterations of it, we've all been exposed to different music, and we've all, because we've known each other throughout our teenage years, we've all experienced more just general life. And I think we pull a lot of inspiration from our personal experiences and what we've been through as individuals and together as a band. And so changing the name just felt like the right way to be like, okay, we've matured, and this is us, like, we're committing to something actually for real this time, because now we're in a place where we can, I mean, it felt like we could sort of do it the way we've always wanted to do it.
And it's crazy, too, because, you know, there you release your first single in 2017 with Pleaser. And as the story goes, it makes the viral 50 chart on Spotify while you're still unsigned. I'm a few years older. You know, I'm 37. And when I was young, the way to get your band notices, of course, you'd hang lots of flyers up on telephone poles. And I know that's changed, and it's not supposed to sound like a back in my day sort of line right there. But it's kind of interesting, like, how quick it can happen once you put your music out there. I mean, did that feel like, oh, no, this is really getting away from us really quickly?
Well, instead of hanging them up on the telephone poles, we put them on the electric bird scooters around town.
That's smart.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, I feel like, yeah, like, I feel like the digital age, like Instagram, social media, like, anything can just be at the click of a button. It's kind of insane, like, or a click of a screen, not even a button. Oh my god. I'm showing my age. No, I'm 37 as well. Okay, no, but no, yeah, like, anything on social media, like, everything's so accessible. So I feel like we were very lucky to have that help us out. And now I just feel like everyone is here because they like the music, and now we can just do what we always wanted to do. So
coming up for, as an LA band, you know, in the LA scene, or that scene at least, has had so many stories through the years. Did you all feel like you were part of something? Because I know there's a lot happening in that little town these days musically, once again, as it goes through its cycles.
Not really. We never really broke into any LA scene. I feel like we weren't necessarily, like, even known as, like, this LA band. We just sort of, I don't know. Not really for us.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like for us, being a part of the, like, LA musical community was sort of reverse engineered, where we started putting out music that we actually were sort of proud of for once. And, like, since then, we've made so many friends who are doing the same thing. But, yeah, it's weird. Like, I kind of hate to say it, but, yeah, we never had really broken into the, like, L.A.
thing that was going on, you know, like before putting out Pleaser or whatever.
Yeah, I feel more like we kind of like we're surrounded by artists that we admire from all over like the country and even like the world, I guess. Like that's kind of the scene that I feel like we made ourselves kind of like fall into, if anything. Just that's well, how people perceive us, which is also how I'd love to be perceived as well, I guess. Just like artists like, you know, the Marias and Honey and Claro and all these people that we admire. But the LA scene, like Steel Panther, like we just never lined up with them.
It's too bad. That would have been a really nice friendship right there,
I'm
sure.
I know. I had the hairspray and everything.
I want that split EP now. That's what I desire. That's going to come at some point.
What do you mean?
There is the part of the band that, you know, it seems like it's always got to brought up. There, you know, you've got multiple actors, popular actors working in the band, which used to be such a thing. And I do feel like it's not so much a thing anymore that people have to put that direct spotlight on it. But for some folks, you do have to separate that. And I don't know, is that you all, do you all try to separate the two worlds or do you embrace it?
It's sort of, it could go either way there because we definitely want them to be separated. Like we want people to take Wallace seriously because of the music and because of Wallace for sure. So in that sense, then yes, we like to separate them as much as possible. But we also do embrace it because we would be naive to ever assume that people in the beginning of the band when we put out Pleaser that no one was listening to it because they knew about one of us on a show or something. Like we would never deny that or else we'd just be oblivious or just kind of like assholes. So it's like we definitely accept that. But I think what's become very clear is that time has gone on over, you know, the course of the last 2 years. All the fans that are here are here purely because of Wallace and music. Like, if we were putting out music that no one was responding to and nobody liked, we would be playing to nobody right now. I don't think anybody would care because of a show that one of us is on or any projects we've done. So I think we like to separate them, but we also embrace it because we'd be stupid not to. So it's just sort of, we're not dumb. We get it, you know, and we just, if people like the music, then that's all that matters. Yeah.
I will say that I think I'd been listening to you all for about 4 months, and then I didn't know that. I didn't realize it. And then, like, oh, no, I recognize both of you, yeah. But, you know, I was listening to it before I knew that, yeah.
That's what people are saying. That's what's cool to hear is, like, a lot of people say that, you know, they'll be listening to the band, and then they'll realize later on when they've already become a fan of the music. Sorry. So, I like hearing that.
My favorite one is, oh, my God, that drummer was in his Romeo and Juliet school play.
I was.
I knew him.
I knew it. It's true.
The extracurricular.
A little bit of the extracurricular stuff here. There's a video series that you all do around board games, and you're playing board games with mm-hmm. with other bands. That really knocks out the idea of how people perceive Rockstar Life is when you see a bunch of guys sitting around playing Sorry.
Flipping it on his, we're flipping the script.
Oh, God, if you saw the behind the scenes, man. That was just a little idea that we had. We wanted to do an extra thing, just kind of fun content. I just came up with the idea to do board games, and it just kind of happened. So, yeah, it's definitely turning the Rockstar Life on its head, but, you know, what the hell.
What the hell. On the more serious side, tell me about the bus fire, because I just saw the picture of that, and that looks, I mean, it doesn't look like there's much left of that bus.
There is not much left of that bus at all. What's hilarious, so first off, yeah, it's generator issue, whole bus exploded, narrowly avoided, we're all lucky to be okay, blah, 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 that's what happened. But we're on a new bus, and we're in Arizona right now as we're talking to you, and overnight we passed the burn site.
Oh, man.
And our driver got out of the bus and still found some of our burned clothes on the side of the road, like, a few hours ago, which is hilarious. Like, he pulled in, he's like, is this, like, it's a part of anyone's shirt? It's, like, all burnt up. It's like, I'm like, yeah, that was my shirt. I wore that at Coachella. That was my shirt. So we passed the burn site last night, which is hilarious, in our new bus. So, anyway, that's just a fun little tidbit of info. We just passed by it, and we still had some clothes in the grass.
So what actually happened? I mean, were you all in the bus? I mean, what was the deal with it? You'd said a generator fire, but...
Right, so it's kind of a weird story. So we, super last minute, added this, like, radio promo show in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So us five in the band and our tour manager were actually on a flight. It was a layover in Dallas, then to Tulsa. And the bus was driving from San Francisco to meet us in Dallas, which was the next show after this radio promo thing in Tulsa. And so we get off the plane for the layover, and our TM gets a call. We're all, like, watching him. He just has the most sunken look you've ever seen on his face. He's like, call 911, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I think most of us thought it was like something to do with his girlfriend. Like, we thought it was like some other like life issue. Then he gets off the phone. He's like, dude, like Mike just called, like the bus is on fire. Because our driver was obviously driving the bus, and our crew, we had three of our friends doing crew that were on the bus as well. So we weren't even there when it happened, but it was still really scary because it could have happened at any time. We didn't know if everyone was okay, but luckily everyone was cool. And the only thing that we really lost was the majority of us lost like all of our clothes. But yeah, since then, I think we've recovered well, and we've gotten some good love from some brands that we like, and have been thrift shopping in every city. But yeah, just a generator fire, totally random freak accident.
That's crazy. And well, it's good to hear that you don't have to do the rest of the tour with one pair of clothes or potentially none. That's the best news right there. Good, you know, congratulations.
It was that way for a couple of days, but we've made do since then. But I was literally saying, luckily we live in LA where there's like a bunch of great thrift stores. You can go get a bunch of cheap clothes really easily anywhere. So that's good. So we're going home tomorrow. I'm just going to go. I cannot wait to send out it.
Well, no, the album's out now, but you've already kind of followed that up with a quick release. There's a new version of Are You Bored Yet, which involves an orchestra. Is there any, I mean, what's the story there?
What is the story there?
Yeah, I think it was, may have been your idea, Dylan, at first, because we have a song called Treacherous Doctor. I don't know if I should, I guess I can talk about that because that's not out yet, but we always thought that the chords were so sort of peculiar on that song that we thought a string arrangement would be really good for it. And so somehow it came together where we recorded two live songs at this studio called Henson Studios. And one of my friends from college plays violin and does like arranging for stuff. And so we had him arrange a four-piece, I guess, what would you call it, a quartet? Danny, is that a quartet?
Yeah, quartet.
A quartet, yeah, for strings for the songs, and just thought it'd be just like a cool reinterpretation of what it was to like sort of show, not show off, but just display the songwriting in a more unique and sort of, we thought this, we just always have thought strings are really beautiful. So showing that in a new light, we thought would be a good idea.
It's a cool version of it. So it was I'm excited to run across that one. And again, you know, that's how I wrap it up. But congratulations on this record. I know it was a long time coming. I know you guys worked on it forever, but it all paid off. And we really love Nothing Happens Around Here. So
thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
It's been great. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And it was a pleasure talking to you all three. Hopefully, I'll be catching Wallows out on the tour. But good luck out there, guys.
Hey, thank you so much, Kyle. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
See you later.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, my thanks to Braden, Cole, and Dylan of Wallows. And again, the debut album is out now. It's called Nothing Happens. Hey, before you get out of here, don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening from, whether, again, that's you get your favorite podcasts at iTunes and Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube. You can subscribe there as well. And then you can head to WFPK.org, where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. You can find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.